If you ever go to visit Cologne, Germany, you'll be struck by the cathedral there. And that is this massive building with these two giant spires that shoot up on this incredible on the city sightline, dominating the entire city of this great cathedral there that had been damaged during World War II, and that the rest of the city was flattened, but this cathedral stayed standing. And they've gone and rebuilt it since then, redecorating it as it was before the war. And when you walk into the church, you're struck by the great stained glass windows, the statues. And as you walk up to the sanctuary behind the main altar, you see this large chest, this large reliquary. And in that reliquary contains the relics of the three wise men. How did they get to Cologne, you might be wondering. The wise men's bones are said to have been located in Persia and then brought to Constantinople by St. Helena, the mother of Constantine, of Emperor Constantine, who was the first Roman emperor to convert to Christianity. The bones were then transferred from Constantinople to Milan in the 5th century and then to Cologne in 1163. Not only did the wise men journey during their lives, but even after death, their relics went on a journey. But although St. Matthew does not tell us the names of the wise men, tradition tells us that their names are Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. He does not tell us the number of them, but he simply states that they offered the three gifts, frankincense, myrrh, and gold. The journey the wise men made to Bethlehem was not the only journey they made. They also made a journey in their hearts from paganism to worshiping Jesus. They weren't Jews. Scholars tell us that they were priests of an Eastern religion who consulted the stars. That we imagine that they were Zoroastrian priests. They even speculate that one of them might have been a king. And therefore, we can see that they're followers of paganism. Before they start on their journey to Bethlehem to worship Jesus, they were star readers, they were astrologers. They went on an interior journey from reading the stars to worshiping Jesus as God, as the Savior of the world. At their old life as astrologers, when they consulted the stars before they came to believe in Jesus, reminds us of those who might look at horoscopes for guidance. That they're similar in that way of looking to the stars for what to guide them. You have to ask for astrologers, for those who look at horoscopes, who is in charge of their lives? The stars are God. Believing that the stars control our lives contradicts believing that God is in charge of our lives. It contradicts the first commandment, asking us not to have any other strange gods. Indeed, the fact that God has sometimes revealed the future to prophets or saints shows that it is God, not the stars, that controls our destiny. The Catechism goes and states that consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and lots, the phenomena of clairvoyance, and the recourse to mediums all conceal a desire for power over time, history, and in the last analysis, other human beings, as well as a wish to conciliate power. They contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear that we owe to God alone. The wise men journeyed from that kind of life to worshiping the one true God, to worshiping Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And along that journey, we can think of the different people they met along that way. First of all, they went and met King Herod. He was certainly interested in the child of which the Magi spoke, not in order to worship him, as he wished to make them believe by lying to them, but rather to kill him, as we know. That Herod was a powerful man who saw others solely as rivals to combat. That basically, on reflection, God also seemed a rival to him. A dangerous adversary who would like to deprive men of their vital space, their autonomy, their power. A rival who points out the way to take in life and thus prevents one from doing what one likes. Here goes and listens to the interpretations of the prophet Micah's words made by his experts in sacred scripture. But he only thought was of his throne. So God himself had to be clouded over. People had to be reduced to mere pawns to move on from on a great chessboard of power. And Herod is a figure we all can dislike. And we all instinctively judge negatively because of his brutality, because of his ordering of the sacrifice, the massacre of the holy innocents. Yet we need to ask ourselves, is there perhaps something of Herod also in us? Might we too sometimes see God as a sort of rival in our lives? Might we too be blind to his signs and deaf to his words, because we think he's setting limits on our lives, in our lives, does not allow us to dispose of our existence as we please, that we fall in that trap of Herod and the people of Jerusalem? And we can think then of the second group of people that the Magi meet, the scholars, the theologians, the experts who know everything about sacred scriptures, who are familiar with the possible interpretations, who can quote every passage of it since they know it by heart, and are therefore valuable assistance to those who choose to walk in God's path. Now, you might think that a priest might be like one of those experts. Well, I don't know. I can't quote scripture by heart, so fortunately I don't fit into that. However, St. Augustine says that they are being like guides to others. They point out the way. They themselves do not travel. They stand stock still. They don't allow the sacred scriptures to be a way of life. Instead, it's a sort of atlas to be perused with curiosity, a collection of words and concepts for study and learned discussion. However, once again, we need to ask ourselves, is it not there a temptation within us to consider sacred scriptures, this very rich and vital treasure for the faith of the church, as an object of study, a specialist of discussions, rather than as a book that shows us the way to attain life? Then when we read sacred scriptures, do we realize we are reading the Word of God? The living Word of God is found there in those sacred writings. We encounter Jesus himself when we read his words, God's words written down for us all of those years ago. And then lastly, we can think then of not a person that the Magi met, but of the star, that these men were seeking traces of God. They were seeking to read his signature in creation. They knew that the heavens are telling of the glory of God. They were certain, that is, that God can be perceived in creation. But as sages, the Magi also knew that it was not with any kind of telescope, but rather with the profound eyes of reason in search of the ultimate meaning of reality and with a desire for God motivated by faith, that it is possible to meet him, indeed possible for God to come close to us, to be imminent to us. That the universe is not a result of chance, as some would like to make us believe. In contemplating, we are asked to interpret in it something profound, the wisdom of the Creator, the inexhaustible creativity of God, his infinite love for us, his creation, his beloved creation, that he sent his only Son into the world for. We must not let our minds be limited by theories that only go so far and that at a close look are far from competing with faith and do not succeed in explaining the ultimate meaning of reality. We cannot perceive in the beauty of the world its mystery, its greatness, its rationality, the eternal rationality found therein. Nor can we dispense with its guidance to the one God, creator of heaven and earth. And if we go and acquire this perception, we shall see the one who created the world and the one who was born in that cave in Bethlehem, who continues to dwell among us in the Eucharist, are the same living God who calls us, who loves us, who wants to lead us to eternal life, to that heavenly home. The wise men's journey of 1,000 miles or more westwards from Persia, which could have taken 3 months, is really just a symbol of the inward journey they made in their hearts, a journey from paganism to belief in the one true God, the Savior of the world. Indeed, not just the wise men, but all of us are on a journey to get closer to Jesus, our Savior. Our journey might not be from being astrologers, from reading stars and consulting horoscopes, but each of us are called to allow Jesus be Lord of each and every part of our lives, of not just when it suits us, that we each have a journey to make to Jesus, because none of us is yet fully converted. Each of us have a corner of our hearts and lives in need of Jesus' healing and redemption, that we all have those sins, those temptations that we struggle with, that like the wise men, we too are relying on the grace of God to lead us to the light of Jesus, our Savior. The church's mission and vocation is to help people to make the journey to Jesus, to come to know that Jesus is the one Savior of the world, worth journeying towards. Jesus' last command before his ascension was to go out, baptize all nations, that we have that duty, each as a baptized Christian, to preach the gospel to those who have not yet heard of Jesus, who do not yet understand who he is. And again, we remember that the wise men were not members of the chosen people, not members of the Jews. Yet God revealed to them that Jesus was born. And this shows us that Jesus came not just for the chosen people, for the Jews. That Jesus came to save all people, the Gentiles as well as the Jews. That he came to save each and every one of us. The wise men went on a journey to Jesus, a journey from being astrologers to worshiping Jesus. And each of us are called to allow Jesus be Lord of each and every part of our lives, not just when it suits us. We each have a journey to make to Jesus, because yet none of us are yet fully converted, and each of us have corners in our hearts and lives in need of Jesus' healing and redemption. We pray that God may lead us, like them, ever closer to his Son, Jesus. We pray that all nations, all peoples may come to know that Jesus is the one true God, the one Savior of the world, that all nations, all peoples might fall prostrate before Jesus and present the gifts like the Magi did all of those years ago.